Oh, gee. That's a big thing.
Pretty material. You can't sleep at night.
Very specific.
No kidding.
Lots of questions, but most of them are no. Compared to an LLC, that's $350.
In progress.
Work done.
Okay, good. That's where we're hearing the echo from.
It's good though, it works.
Yay.
Did you get your camera working
again? What it was, I've got the cord like this. Because when it's the other way, it seems to pull on these cables. So maybe these cables were getting pulled just enough that they weren't quite connecting.
Yeah.
I went through and unplugged and replugged and works now. So keep your fingers crossed.
That's funny.
Yeah.
The mask and the glasses. Gotta go back. I'll be right there. Just right there. Glasses.
Yeah, good.
You can attend online.
Yeah, I think she's in the audience, so I'll move over.
Still at work, I know.
We're missing our public works people today.
Yep. Jason's sick, and I don't know where Kyle's at. He won't be here.
Sherry, you know if Kyle's coming?
No, it's not coming.
Yes.
How's the knee, Tim?
Getting better.
Better?
Yep.
Replacement?
Yes.
I have a friend who got two of them. The first one only lasted him 10 years.
Oh.
And he already knew that. He was told that when he got him for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So 11 and a half years later, after it started to go out on him again, he got the second surgery. He was in his mid-60s, I guess. So I figured, another 10 years, 12 years, he'll probably outlive me.
Near,
yep.
Near, are you sure?
Three weeks ago today.
Three.
We'll call the Water Advisory Committee meeting to order. Get a roll call, please.
Kathy here.
Ulrich here.
Swallen here.
Jensen here.
Hadim here.
And I see John's on.
Christensen here.
Zoom. All right. And Kyle and Jason are out today. Beth, we'll go into public comment.
So I requested to be on the agenda, and since I couldn't be on the agenda, I am going to speak now. And what I wanted to talk about is obviously our water situation. And there are two codes for the city, 3.52.050 and 3.52070, that address the applications for water to, I'm assuming, outside water sources. And it clearly states that all applicants shall be treated equally and fairly in approval or denial for domestic water. And then the surplus water also, which is the 3.52.707, it says surplus water sales agreement, unless otherwise requested, shall be made for domestic purpose only. And in the agreement that I received from Kim, the water agreement, it states in here that the surplus water will be used when there's surplus only, when it's available. And it also indicates that customers are presently seeking a source of potable water, and the city is willing to supply surplus water to the customers until then, which my understanding is that's not happening. They're continuing to use the city water and they have been for years. And the last meeting that I was at, and it was stated that domestic animals could be cows or horses or whatever, if people wanted to state that that was their pets. So I went through and looked up the state of Oregon guidelines or administrative rules, which is what the contracts are going by. And it clearly states that domestic water use means the water for human consumption, household purposes, domestic animal consumption. And so I followed through to find out what a domestic that is ancillary or residential use of property or related accessory uses. So domestic animal means an animal other than livestock or equines that are owned or in possession by a person. So for somebody to say, oh yeah, my cow's my pet, that's not going to cut it.
What was the OAR that you referenced on that?
It's 167.310 to 167.351. And I read F4 for domestic animal. And in all of the information that I found, and I'm going to give you a copy of this, domestic animals are not cows and pigs and horses and all of that, which appears that a lot of our water is being used for that kind of a thing. And then I've also got information on surplus water and agricultural use. And there was another comment that was made in regards to the city has to build, you know, additional homes and that kind of thing. So again, I looked that up also. And there is a model that they go by for the state of Oregon. And it's in regards to sanitary sewer and water. And it says inadequate facilities. Development permits may be restricted or yet rationed by the Planning Commission where a deficiency exists in the existing water or sewer system that cannot be rectified by the developer, in which, if not rectified, will result in the threat of public health and safety. So there again, a developer can come in here and say they're going to do all that they want to say and do what they want to do. But if it's not going to fix our actual water, the flow of the water so that we get more, then that's a justified reason not to allow a developer to come in here and build another 57 homes. So I'm angry that anybody on this board would or could justify, jokingly or otherwise, state that domestic or cows and chickens or whatever you want to call it, all the other animals that are on these farms, that they can justify that, you know, that can be used for your pet.
I will just stop you right there. I refer you to Rule 635.056.0020. It lists 32 animals that are exempt and are classified as domestic animals.
And what is that for? Where's
Oregon,
that at?
Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Okay, but we're you in the what you stated last month was these are Oregon state laws. I'm not talking fish and wildlife.
There's other, I'll reference, there's more information there. I would just do some more research.
Well, again, in the contract that I was given by Kim, it refers to Oregon administrative rules, which is what I did. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to give you copies of these so that you have them.
I have not seen the contracts from the city. We've asked for those.
Well, I don't have contracts. I was told that I was going to get contracts for the individual water districts. And at this point, all I've gotten is a contract from Kim, which is for, and I did not put that in there. It's for the agreement between City of Yamhill and whoever. It doesn't have a name or anything on these. It's a blank contract.
Why don't you give him that? I'll give you mine.
This is the one that I got from Kim. That's okay. I can give them for Bob.
You can email us a copy. Great. I know we're supposed to be getting copies of all the outside contracts. As of yet, we have not seen those.
Well, I'm being told two different things. I'm being told that all the individual homeowners have this contract.
Individual homeowners?
Yes. And then, yes, that's what I was told. And then I was told that I would be provided with each water district contract. So whether there's two different contracts out there, I don't know. But I was told that the city has copies of each individual homeowner's contract, which supposedly is this one. And if that's the case, you know, they're supposed to be getting their own water source. Once they send this contract in, they're supposed to be looking for a different water source.
There are no individual contracts with the users.
Well, that's not what I'm being told. That's from the city here.
Well, we got two other representatives from district here.
Hi, Brian. Tim Pfeiffer, West Yamhill Water Company. Our users do not have individual contracts with the City of Yamhill. The water district has a contract with the City of Yamhill. And all we are is a distribution system. We purchase the water from the City of Yamhill. They read the one master meter. We are liable for all our own line repairs, our meter readings with our users, but our individual users on our lines do not have a contract with the City of Yamhill.
I agree with that completely. I'm from Lazy River Water District.
And this is not the contract we have for districts either. You don't have anything that looks like that at all?
Well, all I can tell you is what I was told.
I can tell you what I have, it's not that.
Well, and I'm assuming so because, like I say, I was told that each water district had a contract and each individual homeowner had a contract. And the only reason I state that, and I'm not saying I totally believe what you're saying, but the only reason that I know specifically that that's what was said is because I was looking up all the different water districts. And there was a home that sold in November of last year within the confines of one of those districts. And I don't remember which one it was. And so I called up here and I asked specifically, does that new homeowner have a contract, a water contract with the city? And the answer was yes. Each individual homeowner gets a contract and they are updated every 2 to 3 years.
And I told you last time that's totally incorrect.
Right, but why we as people asking questions like that are being told a bald-faced lie?
I'll take that up with the person to talk to.
It makes me question how many other lies we're being told in regards to various different things that are happening.
Could it be mainline users?
No.
Individuals?
No, it was each individual homeowner per water district. Yeah.
Is the way it works that the water districts have a contract with the city. They pay the city whatever water they use.
Right.
And then they charge their customers per what their water.
Yeah, and every district, I think, does it differently on how they charge their users. So that's, you know, each district's own choice, I guess, as to how they deal with that part. So.
Well, I guess it just appears that the city, which they should know exactly what's going on, regardless if it's water or the sewer plant or whoever, whatever other departments that are involved in the city, they should know what is going on and be telling the truth instead of, like I say, lying about it, because it's very apparent with all of you here that I was told a frigging lie, bottom line.
He misunderstood your question.
No, and the reason that I say that is because I got a call the next day, and I said, and the last time I had gotten a new phone, it wasn't working properly because they hadn't transferred my phone number over. And I found that I had a voicemail from the same person I talked to. I called her back and she says, I just wanted to make sure that you understood the conversation we had yesterday. We went through the whole thing all over again, and I asked additional questions and was given additional answers, and it was the same result.
Okay. Right.
Eric, do you know if this is a newer contract that cities put together?
I believe that's a contract that we use in the city boundaries. I'm thinking if you're telling me that it's different from the water districts, that's probably one that we use for within the city boundaries for people that are like on maybe not they're individual users, they're outside of the city boundaries, but they're not a water district.
Is what so that be the ones from the treatment think, plant to the reservoirs on the transmission line?
I'm thinking I know that we've used that one for a few people on Buttercup.
That would make sense because it's
that's what I'm thinking.
I just kind of glancing through this, it's that is what it's, I think it's more for the the city users between the treatment plant and the reservoir, and then the four that run east, north.
But since they haven't allowed any new hookups, I can't imagine they have that contract signed by anybody.
Yeah, there's been no new hookups since the Buttercup.
Mayor Potter.
We had someone move out of one of the Buttercup homes, and then a new homeowner, so they had to sign the agreement.
Not
an addition to, but just replacing
the
but
one.
Sharon, this particular house was in a water district. I know for a fact it was in a water district.
From what I understand, and that's from speaking with Kim, who's familiar with the water districts and the water district contract, she's told me that the main person for the water district is the person who handles that contract, that their users within the district do not have individual contracts.
Well, that's not what she told me two different times.
That's what Kim's told me, and that's, my understanding.
And that's what the water districts have verified, that they do not have contracts with the users. The contract with the city is between the city and the district. And then the district is responsible for paying the bill, whatever goes through that main meter.
North County Event Center.
And then it's up to that district to recruit from each user whatever they use. So if the city had a contract with each user, then the user would be paying the city direct, not the water district paying.
The accounts set up in the billing system are under each water district.
Each district.
And so the payment comes in from the water district and gets applied.
Robert.
Yes, sir. Ryan, I represent Yamhill Neighborhood Association, and as its representative, we would like to ask the three outside water districts that are here two questions, if it's okay. They've already been discussed, but I just wanted clarification, if you don't mind.
They're wanting to share. Go ahead.
So the first question is, obviously the contract with the outside water district is between the city and the district. So to be clear, there is no contract between the users and the districts?
No.
Okay. With that said, my second question is, based on your master meter and the user's quantity of water used, are you aware on a monthly basis how much lost water you are having through your district?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. That's it.
Okay. Any other public comment?
We have West Water, we have basically 30 water hookups, and currently three of them are not being used because, well, there's two abandoned houses that have water meters to them, and then the one residence, she went back to using her well instead of the meter. And our average use is between 6,000 and 7,000 gallons per household. So we're not, other than we get an occasional leak that we get taken care of. And last summer, I think it brought everybody's attention to, you know, half gallon mental leak adds up to quite a bit. So you get after it and get them fixed. And I think we've all been better patrons for what we went through last summer. So, we're minding our P's and Q's pretty hard.
Thank you, Tim. Any other public comment?
Also, the outside water district had to follow the same rules that the city of Yamhill had on their water use. I mean, so we were not watering our, you know, lawns and whatever. I mean, we followed the same rules.
Thank you.
So, question: when did you guys get notified of your of the water restrictions last summer?
I saw it on Facebook
from the Yamhill Husband Fire Department.
Yeah,
I don't think we were.
I don't think we were notified.
Tumbled to it till we got to like level three, and then the shit was hitting the fan.
So it was August, somewhere in August.
Yeah,
is that when you got notified?
No, I got notified very first. What about you, Janice? Did you?
I think I was right away notified, and I don't, but I can't remember how. I could have seen it on Facebook, or they email me things. So
yeah, and that's what I think. The people with the email connection, I don't know. I was notified right away, but then I know that there's a discrepancy when they had their water line break out here last week or the week before. I got notified, so I had time to call my district users, but the other district it takes off at 2:48.
I think
and neither did anybody in town.
I think it was included in the bill too. There was a
Yeah.
Okay. Move on. New business. We started kind of last time. Was going to look at equipment and maintenance standards for the city. I know Jason and Kyle aren't here to input.
I would think that their input would probably be significant in this discussion and whether we pursue it or not, I don't know. But since we've got Tim and Janice here, would it be helpful for you guys if the city developed standards for the districts for maintenance and repairs?
I don't know if it would make a real difference. We're in the process of right now we're updating. We got a bunch of old meters, and so we bought the new digital ones through Kyle and Jason, and we're going to update. We got enough to do half of our system, because the new half was put in 93, and the old system was put in 62, I think, when they incorporated. the first bunch. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to replace all those meters with the newer ones. And then, which the newer ones will let us know if we have a leak earlier. And I think those are the kind of things that we need to do, Rick, to kind of help us keep up, because I think we got a little over 4 miles of system. And, you know, you get out in the middle of these fields, and this time of year, you know, it's kind of hard to find a leak.
Yeah.
And, but it's really not too critical right now either. But, you know, come August, and we've had a couple last year that were pretty significant, and the homeowners weren't happy with the water bills they had, but that's the way it goes. So,
well, some of the extra points I have, but not just the standards, but also like supporting with equipment availability for you guys to use, like pumps to clear. You got a break, you got a bunch of water, try to shut off, and then you got a puddle, a pump to remove that water, some sort of support. Potentially, if it was to pan out, with the city actually stock pipe and materials for you guys to come get from them. Not give it to you, but you would make it available so you'd have a standardized supply that you could prepare your emergencies openly without having to run to Portland or chase things around as well.
One thing I didn't know until we ran into starting to change these meters is like a plain old corp stop for a meter. Unless you're a municipality, you don't. I can't go buy that anywhere. I tried several suppliers, and I wound up between Brian and Carlton and Jason and Kyle down here. They had the stuff to tap off the main line to hook to a meter, because Joe off the street just can't go buy that. You have to get it to a municipality.
What's it called?
Just a corp stop, which is just a valve that's ahead of your meter. So if your meter goes bad, you can shut it off and replace the meter or whatever. But we had one where the corp stop went bad, and so we couldn't shut the water off. And so we had to shut our line. We had to get the new stuff to, and then shut our main line down and drain it, and then start over from scratch. And that was one thing I didn't know, but found out real quick, you just don't go buy those.
Yeah, I think that was kind of our thought, is maybe developing kind of that list of equipment maybe the city uses. And so that way, when things go south, it's,
I was at the mercy of these guys, because they had the parts, and we just paid them for the parts, which, just like the water meters, you know, they'll gladly get them for you. We just got to reimburse them for it. But we can't do it without them. So
I know, and that they've always been helpful. So when we've had a break getting parts.
And you said you were replacing the meters on the 62.
The older meters.
The older.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Gotcha.
Right. We're updating all those.
Good deal.
Are you saying that some of those meters have been in the system since 1962?
Well, they've probably been swapped out once already, Jay. But still, those are the older ones. Like I say, we added 15 users on our line in 1993. So, but still, that's 20 years old already. So, or thereabouts. So, yeah, those older meters, we're trying to get those updated.
Well, my thought was, when you guys have an emergency, probably not 9 to 5 Monday to Friday.
No.
And being able to access the equipment and the materials you need to make your repair and get everybody back online, and one to also reduce the lost water
right
in a quick and efficient manner, it would make sense that we found one common stockpile of equipment, city manages it, and you know, you'd reimburse them for the bits, but
sure,
at least you'd have the pump you need, value you might need, or whatever the bits and pieces are. I'm not
right.
Water.
Exactly. Well, that would be at least a go-to place.
Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't happen overnight, because I believe the city would have to budget to create that stockpile as well.
Yeah. Well, I know I was really impressed with what Carl has over there, down there near. Brian's got he's got every fitting you can kind of imagine. And some of these older systems that, you know, you just got to update it. to get so, to some current.
Can't you guys incorporate with the city somehow to be?
Well, that's, I think that's what he's talking about, Sherry. Right. Yeah.
Instead of having, I mean, it would basically be a, you can be a buyer underneath the city.
There's ways to do it. And I think that's kind of what we're looking towards. But maybe we'll hold up on that until Jason and Kyle are here so we can kind of better
pursue it further. I think it'd probably be a get the water district.
Hawaii doesn't require a massive.
She forgot a mask.
Yeah, there's still a bunch.
They're right there.
She doesn't.
All right. We'll move on. Add on here, water rates. We kind of chatted about that a little bit. We got the number that Jason gave us for water usage.
Yep.
And
but that's not accurate because it doesn't have some of the carrying costs.
It doesn't include the transmission line cost in there.
I might share with these guys that are new what the.
So we've been asking and we finally received, I'm going to back here my notes, Ricky might have it.
The cost
of gallon. It is like 1.2 cents to produce a gallon of water to deliver to your faucet. On that,
yep.
So at 4,000 gallons a month, that's $48. That does not include the cost of the transmission line. Cost of that, you add that in there, that puts us over that $52.16 that we're paying for water. I do know that Carlton pays a higher rate for water. They get 3,800 gallons of water. It's $175 a month. That's their base rate. And then they have their sewer on top of that. I believe it's about $250 just for water and sewer in Carlton.
So I was looking back on some of the old stuff from the city. When they decided to increase the water rates. And apparently that decision was based on not providing any extra money for the water fund. That was provided just to barely cover everything because at the time the sewer was the big problem. So basically your increased water rates only don't provide any money for what we need to do. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And looking at the rates from other cities and like got a bunch of stuff. One thing I looked at, I know some cities charge a flat rate and then they charge so much per gallon of water. So they have a flat rate, kind of a flat rate meter fee. It's much to, that covers all of your plant, your transmission, maintenance, repair, all of that. And then they charge the water on top of that. I don't know what everybody's thought is as far as it'd be more like your power bill. You pay for each gallon of water you use. If you only use 1,000 gallons, you pay for 1,000 gallons. But you would have that flat meter fee to cover the transmission line, the treatment plant, so on.
Yeah, I think the city's pick the right rates that they did because it gave them a structure for how much budgeting they could earn, a minimum anyway of income.
Hey Tim, would you be more comfortable in a different chair?
Well, I'm just fine. I just gotta let it breathe a little bit.
So isn't that kind of how the outside water districts are? Aren't you guys just paid by the gallon basically?
Everybody does it different, Sherry. So I don't think there's anything that's consistent. We bill per meter, a monthly meter rate, plus for every thousand of gallons we use, it's a rate. So we don't. And then if we have water loss in our main line, everybody gets a share of that. So
how much for like the city taxes Do you know how much of the city taxes go to the water department? Or
none of it.
None of it?
The water and sewer is completely funded by user fees.
Okay.
So there's no tax dollars that go to the water and sewer. So in reality, the water and sewer should be self-supporting.
It
should be.
They wouldn't be if you didn't have to
it's going to always be upkeep, no matter what.
And it'll just happen when I chill out. So.
So that's yeah. The tax dollars are for City Hall, for the park, for streets, sidewalks, police. The water and sewer are
totally separate.
There's should be funded 100% by user fees.
Question: What do we know? What the status is of the water meters for the water district? Have they been replaced with upgraded meters?
They're tested every year.
Pardon?
They're tested every year. Ours are. The water meter is tested.
Have they been? Yeah, they're tested, but have they been upgraded to the new digital water meter?
No.
So, and some of those meters are probably several years old.
Ours are pretty new. They just replaced ours.
Yours aren't, but theirs are. So it's dependent on who's in charge of that district.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Jason got us a new 3-inch digital. I don't know if it's installed yet or not, because right now we have two master meters. We have one right out here below Wayne Stonebricks is the one that we're using right now, which is only a 2-inch meter. And we've been wanting to switch to the one, our other meters over at Pike Road in Garish Valley by Bailey's there. And that's more in the center of our district. And so we would like to switch to that one, but they needed somehow that new meter got damaged and they needed to replace it. So I've been gonna get with Jason to see if he's got that done. And so we could switch ours over to a 3-inch meter and shut the one off at Wayne's. So.
Most all of the meters connected to the transmission line from the reservoir into town were replaced with the transmission line project. I think the one that did not get replaced is that meter there at Garish Valley, just because it was a larger size meter and it was a significant cost to modify that one.
So Brian, can I make a comment in regards to the water rates?
Yeah.
So when I was going around town with one of the petitions, there were a lot of elderly people that I spoke with, and some of them are barely getting by month to month. Some of them have been here for way more years than I can ever even think about. If and our rates are going to go up again this year by 17%, you are going to push the people that have been here for 40 or 50 years right out of here, because they're going to have to literally choose between what food they buy nowadays, if they have medication, or pay their water bill. And I'm going to use me for example. The most that I've ever seen on my water bill is 2,800 gallons. So, and I know there's other people in the city that are the same way. They don't use anywhere near the amount of the 4,000 gallons. So every single month, the city's making money off of me and umpteen other people. And like I say, that's the most, and that would be in the summertime when I'm doing the little bit of watering that I do. Most of the time, I'm under 2,000 gallons a month. So you're making double, off of me, for instance, than somebody who uses 4,000 gallons consistently.
I don't think they're making double, because what they've done is they've taken their cost and figured it into 4,000 gallons.
Right. But I'm saying I'm paying for 2,000 gallons roughly the majority of the year that I don't use. And there's a lot of other people that are the same way here too. You know, when it's one or two people in the household, they're not going to use 4,000 gallons a month.
So what's the thoughts of having a flat rate plus?
Oh, all about that.
The water usage.
Yeah, depending on what that flat rate's going to be. If it's 50 bucks a month.
Well, the flat rate's going to have to go up to just because they're already running in the loss. So they can't decrease.
Well, I don't think they're running in the loss because, like I say, there are a lot of people in this town that don't use 4,000 gallons a month. Even in the summertime.
But to keep the plant running, to keep the chemicals, the power, keep maintenance on the line, that's how they figured that the $52 is not covering their cost. If we tied into Hillsboro and that was a $10 million project, and we put that on a 20-year repayment plan, so you're going to be paying $500,000 a year. If you divide that per month, that's almost $42,000 a month just for the principal payment. If you have 500 users paying into that, it's going to cost each user an extra $84 a month on their water bill.
Okay, but it shouldn't be just the residents of the city.
I'm talking every user, every.
You said city.
Every city district, I mean, it would be divided between everybody. If you have 1,000 users, that cost goes down to $42.
So you take the $42 plus an additional 17% that they're going to, and let's say it would be done next year. Pretend. What's the additional 17% that's going to be added this year?
That is to help.
No. What would be the cost of just a standard water bill?
Just the hookup, it sounds like, not the water. You're talking.
This would be just for the additional 17%.
We're looking about another $8.87.
Okay, so say $9. So then an additional $48. So you're looking at 55 or whatever. On top of the 150, what is it? 151.19 or something like that. You know, we're going to be over $200 a month.
Not for water. You're adding sewer in, does count?
Okay. Well, yeah, it does because it's, you know,
it's a different deal.
I think if we're going to solve the problems, if we're going to improve our water in the city, we got to get realistic. We know it's going to cost money. It's not free. And price is going up daily. We're going to be pushing the $100 to $150 a month for water, if you want water.
And then it adds up 3% then every year after that, you know?
Well, it depends on how they set the rate. I mean, you gotta have a cost of increase because your power goes up, your labor goes up, chemicals go up, replacement costs go up. It's not cheap. And like I said, the cost goes up. And the cost has gone up drastically in the last 6 months. Just comparison, we bought two new fire trucks. We paid $387,000 for those each. My price today is $700,000.
No, I understand that.
In a year.
I understand that, but what everybody else has to also look at is this town is made up of a huge amount of elderly, retired, fixed income people.
Well, I think everything counts.
Sure, that's true.
Well, so but that's my point.
The way you can do with it is have a flat rate, mm-hmm. or you can have a smaller base rate, or you can have some sort of discount or
pay for what you use is what you're trying to say. You shouldn't have to pay for what you don't use.
I guess, yeah.
If you just pay for the meter service and then whatever, however So why don't you want to charge a gallon beyond that, I guess? And that will make a huge difference in how they process their bills here in the city.
Yeah.
Way more time consuming.
Well, and they send everything out.
Yeah.
To a third party. I mean, they read the meters every month. Mm-hmm. So you've got to put in the meter readings to know if they're over the 4,000.
Yeah.
So
they're already doing that.
Yeah. Okay. So then you're setting a pretty simple setup.
And on the city website, there's actually a low cost or a low income water subsidy program available to people.
And I never noticed that before, but I did see it and I actually went in to look at it. But like Shara knows, I wasn't able to get in there because there was something going on. But anyway, the elderly people in this town should, and I mean, I'm not in that position yet, but yeah, I'm retired. And yeah, I have, you know, a fixed income. I thank God have a small retirement, but some of these other people don't. And I think they should be made aware of it because a lot of people don't. The older people don't have computers and, you know, they don't know about that kind of thing.
Well, that'd be a great project for the Anvil Neighborhood.
Yes, it would, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm serious.
Hey, Brian, I did want to mention that when the rate schedule was restructured in 2016, that base amount of 4,000 gallons, that was actually a reduction from 6,000 gallon minimum charge prior to that date. So that was something that the city was conscious of when those rates were set. Certainly sounds like something that needs to be reevaluated next time rates are looked at here, but just want to mention that.
Yeah, I think rates are a key issue right now that need to be addressed. We need to, especially if we're going to move forward on any project to improve the water to the city and to the outside is, and if you read back in reports from back in 2008, you know, it was recommended to look at regional water back then.
Mm-hmm. So Brian, I'd like to speak in regards to what you said about the rates of what Carlton is charging for water. I don't know if you guys remember the postmaster who was the postmaster here for almost 20 years. His name is Michael LeClaire. He lives in Carlton, and I just called him to find out what his water and sewer bill was for the year or for the month. His last sewer bill was for 441 cubic feet of water. It boils down to about 3,300 feet of, or 3,300 gallons. His basic water rate was 55.05. His consumption rate, now this is an additional charge that they calculate yearly based on how much water you use totally for you yourself. His consumption rate was $14.16. So the total water bill for him was $64.21. The sewer rate was $57.62. That's his base rate. And his consumption was $26.56. As you know, the consumption is figured January based on your total water usage for the year and is calculated at some rate, which I don't know what it is. So his total bill for the month was $153.37 or $153.39. I can't read my own writing. Basically, his water rate was $64.21 and his sewer rate was $84.18.
John, you don't have to have Carlton's water rates, do you?
I do. I just pulled them off their website. So they have their base rate's $55 for water, and it's $57.62 for sewer. So it's a minimum $112.67. And then they have, I think as we heard here, they have a 500 cubic foot cutoff, which equates to about 3,700 gallons.
Right.
So at that point, if you're less than 500 cubic feet, you pay, in addition to your base rate, you pay $3.54 per 100 cubic feet.
So their base rate's $55.
$55.05, yeah. What do you get?
Yeah. Where did the $175 number come from that you were
talking? It's from a user in Carleton.
Okay.
I've talked to a couple other users and they said their total bill is $250.
Okay, so they're using above and beyond.
So it'll
maybe. I know that the Carleton Outside Water District, it comes, meets up with ours out here. $175 minimum. I mean, that's what they pay, $175. Crazy.
And that's probably not too far off there. I mean, if we look at average water use in the year 2021 for an in-city residential customer, the average customer was using 7,500 gallons a month.
Wow.
That was the lowest. In the month of November, the average low, 7,500 gallons a month.
For Yamhill or Carleton, John?
Yamhill.
That's not even logical.
In the summer, we're seeing 21,000 gallons a month.
Ooh, wow, I don't know where you get
it. Is that including any in the businesses in town?
Nope, that's just residential customers.
John, where are you getting these numbers from?
I had a 20,000.
Are you sure it's not
2,100? That's from the city's meter reading data. And this is why we saw such a stark drop in water usage when the city went into a water use restriction. Because, you know, 60%+ of the water that folks were using was strictly for irrigation or other purposes.
Is this available to the public, John?
That would be a question for.
Well, that will bring us to. So, water rates, let's continue to look at that. And do we want to work on that some more and get some more information and data?
For rates
and. I know I got a bunch of stuff that I haven't had time to look through.
Yeah, of course, a lot of information popped up. I guess my comment on the down the road, if we ever hook on to Hillsborough Water District, we have a consistent flow of water and the city is wanting more income from their water source. There are quite a few people out our direction that would love to have a city water hookup or to hook onto our district. And we have 33 users on our line and they're all taken. And there are numerous people that don't have enough water to take a shower every day out there. And
haven't for years.
You know, and so I know that the revenue stream could be increased with what the city does if they have a consistent water source that would not take away from in-town users or anybody else by, you know, or the new housing or whatever. But so if being hooked up to like Hillsborough would open up an avenue for actually more revenue as far as water income in the city.
We have the same situation out west because I could probably get every household up on Rocky Ford Road if we had water available to use. We could probably double the size of our system easily.
Yes.
But there again,
we were limited.
Yeah, we don't have the resources right now, so.
And the districts would have to make some adjustment in our lines.
Right.
To take on that kind of additional
water. Well, there'd have to be some storage tanks and whatnot put up, kind of like LA Water Co-op did up here.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to make some concessions and do some things, but.
Yeah.
Long term, we've got to look at regional water.
Yeah.
Right. You're right, Brian.
I mean, our source is limited, and I'll say it again, when it gets hot in the summer, the senior water right people above where the treatment plant is gonna take the water and they don't care about us. Then Douglas fir trees and those trees up there, you start looking at what they take for water during the summer.
Crazy.
I mean, a Douglas fir tree takes 800 gallons of water a day during the summer when it's hot.
Yeah.
And when they got their pipe into that creek and they're going to take their water first and they don't They don't care about us.
Well, didn't they log all the city log all our property off at one point?
Yeah, but there's a lot up above that that's not, and even a little 1-inch sapling takes 10 gallons of water a day.
So, so this is not related to, well, yes, it is related to that. And I know this is going to come across as harsh. Why would you guys say yes to the new subdivision if you know that there is such an issue in the summer with our water? And yes, it was last summer, but the 2008 report that you got, that you were talking about, that stated in there also that there was an issue with the city of Yamhill's water. But yet you all approved the new subdivision.
Because we're looking at, you need new users to help keep this cost down so the seniors don't have to pay. If you don't grow, you're gonna die.
But Brian, you're not being even logical when you talk about that, because the way that I look at it is that all that the city is worried about is how much money they can generate from these new subdivisions. They could care less about the existing people that are in this town. All they care about, and that includes you, is the money that you're going to generate so that you can buy this and so you can upgrade that. And I get that part of it. But the people that are here now and that have been here should be number one priority. But that's not what's being looked at.
Patty, one of the other things that was a consideration was the leak they fixed out here last summer, 30,000 gallons a day.
And I understand that.
That 30,000 gallons was between 9 and 12% of our daily consumption. That is estimated, that subdivision was estimated to use 5%.
Yeah, well,
that 30,000 gallon repair and recovery of that 30,000 gallons covers them in some.
And part of it was that we thought we were going to get some money up front to provide water this summer with the log jam. That's not going to work.
Yeah, well, you all know that bottom line, the creek isn't going to produce more water. A certain amount of water needs to be retained in that creek to, yes, it does, in order to.
How are you going to retain it?
It has to be, there's a certain amount of water that needs to be left in the creek to retain any aquatic life in that creek. You know that as well as I do, or you should. So for the city to try and deplete it as much as they can is, it's ridiculous that anybody would even want to think that they can.
Edgar, did you have something to add?
Yeah, no, thank you. I called in a little bit late just because I was on a phone call, but for the life of me, I cannot figure what agenda item we're on right now.
We were on the water rates, and I was trying to get to number C there, but we're having a tough time getting there.
All right. Thank you.
So I think with water rates, we'll go. The next item we had on here is education, and I think that's kind of where we need to work on, is putting together a good educational of everything so everybody understands from A to Z.
Yeah.
I think we've been jumping around and getting D and
so that would be a
W
question.
And
for Deptra, did we generate anywhere from the ordinances that we make recommendations to do? Not there anymore?
I didn't understand.
So far, nothing's happening with all the ordinances that we wrote, rewrote, and changed and sent to City Council.
Oh, well.
They approved them, but they haven't gone to ours.
Hey, Troy, you're muted if you're trying to speak.
Edgar,
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The question on the ordinances that we had presented to council and they approved, What's the status on those?
Yes, I looked into that. Legal said that they'd never received them late fall. And so I'm just trying to look back to see and make sure that we have all those documents. We can get that to them to take a look at.
They approved it in their January meeting, right?
Unless we're talking about something else, I don't remember anything of that nature being adopted.
The ordinances that the water advisory presented to council.
That went to legal.
Legal's indicated that they have not reviewed it. So I'm trying to get them that information so they can take a look at it.
Okay. So it's sitting at City Hall waiting to move forward.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because the education part is whether or not we have the new ordinances to educate people with.
Ordinances you're talking about was the restructure of the restrictions.
Yeah. Level. I'm trying to make it a little more gentle as we go.
And make sure it gets out.
We'd like to get it out. I mean, it'd be nice to get them out before we actually got to July and August if we have to have some restrictions this year. So without having them done, it's going to be hard to do that. So
you think that'll be on the March council for that ordinance?
It depends on how long it takes them to review it. Council packets are due on March 1st.
So in other words, it probably won't get to it. So we're probably looking at April before they would have a hearing on those ordinance changes.
I would think so. We do have a pretty heavy agenda for March.
Well, I think our agenda is pretty important too. We've been down here volunteering our time for twice a month for how many months? And that was one of the things that was put in front of us that they thought was important to do. So I'm trying to figure out why we are not getting anything that we recommend taken care of.
Well, before I was here, nobody had sent those ordinances to legal. So I was able to track them down and talk to legal about whether or not they'd have an opportunity to review them, and they haven't. So I tried to just do my due diligence in moving it forward once I became aware of it, and certainly not suggesting that this is a priority that's less than any other priority.
While we have you on, any updates on the logjam, where that's at?
The biologist is trying to clear his schedule to come out and do an assessment. And I have not heard back from him this week yet.
Where is the logjam?
Well, what was proposed is the logjam by the intake.
Put one in. Okay.
So back in, John, you might be able to help me. Back in, was it 08, that there used to be a little dam up above the intake that got washed out in the rains?
Sorry, Brian, that predates my service with the city here. We started in 2014.
If my memory serves me correctly, in 08, we had some heavy rains. There used to be a dam up there, and there used to be where the intake was, and they used to be able to capture the water that came out of the impound and use it. In 08, I believe it's 08, that heavy rains had washed that dam out. And so it's not there no more. So there's no way to capture that water coming out of the impound and direct it to the plant. It's a free flow down the stream. Once it goes by the intake, it's gone.
I thought you were taking one out that was stopping flow or something.
No,
just trying to slow it down.
We're trying to slow down the
natural reservoir type thing.
So
that was the dam that was started to be installed and permitted in 79.
and was completed in 80, if I remember right. The dam's total center depth was 18 feet.
That's the impound.
Yeah.
That's the impound?
That's the impound.
And it had a spillway?
The impound does, yes.
Yes. So it holds over 9 million gallons of water?
That's the impound. That's 3.5 miles up the mountain.
Okay. So that's not the dam.
That's not the dam that was on Turner Creek. By the point of diversion used to be 800 feet up from where it's at today. And it used to be gravity fed down to the plant.
I see.
And there was a little dam there that, and a fish ladder that used to, during the summer, they could open the impound when the water, so there's just a little water running over the dam to keep water going downstream.
Right.
But that little dam got washed out.
Oh, I see.
And it never got replaced or.
So was that dam a permitted item?
I don't know. I found little bits and pieces about back in history, but I've never found true paperwork.
So was it was after the building of the impound yard or an impound that was finished in 1980?
Yeah, I think they had an impound before then. You go back, there's some permits from way back in the early 60s,
so they had to have a water source then.
They had Turner Creek, and then they did the impound. There's a couple of different permits. You start reading back in history and in the early 60s, 70s. That little dam used to help during the summer because they could capture that impound water.
Sure.
But that gone, that impound water is free flowing down the creek. And so our capture rate of it is minimal.
So yeah, Chair, in summary, AKS's idea about the log jam is certainly a good potential engineering solution for the issue. From the permitting agency's perspective, they're not completely convinced that from an environmental perspective, that's going to be the best thing to do. You know, that's oftentimes a cost-benefit analysis that needs to happen. So I've had maybe a third, fourth conversation now with ODF&W, just for them to come out to the site and do a site assessment. So they're not just left punching numbers, you know, in their office, just to kind of take a look at the lay of the land. But the biologist is having a difficult time clearing his schedule. So I will stay on him. I'm a pretty good pest.
Andrew, who are you talking with at ODFW?
Brian McNabb.
Okay. Thank you.
I know in today's age, they're trying to do away with dams and take more out.
This is not a dam. I mean, this is common practice to install these for stream bank restoration and to create habitat. So I think we just need to connect with ODFW and provide a little better background on what the project involves.
Yeah, I agree with John.
Yeah.
We're by no means building a dam.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're paying contractors.
And I think that's why that the other dam didn't get replaced back in 08 was, I know we had FEMA out here and I don't know what came of that. That was a city deal. Well, but there used to be one there.
As I recall talking with the former superintendent, the hillside was sloughing off. And that's why they couldn't replace it. And another aspect of that was that Weyerhaeuser kept moving their gate uphill because it kept sliding down. So that was why they moved it downstream. And there was some talk about how deep to make that pool because of the rock bottom you know, they couldn't go in and do any blasting or anything like that. So it is much shallower than what we would like to have it.
Can we just get some kids in a pile of rock and we make their little rock band across there and play in it?
Just train that beaver to go up there and.
I think John's idea approaching about the wildlife in the river and that it needs to be some sort of a holding area, because last looking at the pictures we saw last summer, I don't know how anything could have survived. There were fish and stuff, there were, you know.
There's little ones.
Well, yeah, but.
And I think that's what they're working on now with Fish and Wildlife, trying to get them up there to get their blessings so we can get the permits to move forward. It's just
the part
time consuming.
The part of where our water capture system is part of the Turner Creek that is also an endangered species habitat, according to the state of Oregon. So that's another hurdle.
Any thoughts on the educational piece, or we want to keep working on that, perhaps get some more data, thoughts?
I'm thinking that kind of comes in like with the ordinance and all that, because other than that, it's just basic conservation stuff.
We'll kind of put that on hold until we can see where the ordinance.
Yeah. So otherwise, we're going to have to work with what we have.
And then that, yeah, we start doing an educational process.
All right. Let's give the city a chance to do their part.
We'll let the city get caught up with us for a little bit. Okay. Old business, log jam, we heard about that. Update on grants, any doing exciting things?
So, still waiting to hear back on the STAG grant, which is the congressional directed spending. They have been signed into law. They were hoping by February 18th, I'll check in with the representative at Berkeley's office and see what had happened. But they're waiting on Congress to sign them into law. So still waiting on that. Applying for the hazard mitigation grant program. That application is due by April 4th, and that's for the 1.6 million gallon water tank. We received the three grant applications that were submitted to the county's ARPA program. That was the backwash turbine water pump project, the water filter media project, and also a planning study for a sewer project. And working with the state representatives on locating how to apply for the money that's coming down from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the IIJA, HR 3684. I have put in surveys for LOC and representative for Senator Merkley's office, Jenny Christensen at Regional Solutions Mid-Valley Region Office of Governor Kate Brown, and Business Oregon. So they're all aware of our critical projects. I think that's about it.
Okay. Thanks, Sharon. Any questions?
What's the status of the grant for the conservation and water management plan?
The conservation plan, again, that's before council, and that's we'll wait to hear back from council. It was our recommendation to do a conservation plan and the leak detection piece of that.
Especially the leak detection piece.
We need the leak detection to do the conservation. So,
I have a little update on that.
Okay.
Okay. So, we got Tim Tice gave us a cost estimate of about $26,000. And I was thinking that's a little high. We do have SDCs that can cover that cost this fiscal year. However, the outstanding grants that we have, we will not be able to match those grants if we move forward with that purchase this fiscal year. So that's something for City Council to decide what they want to do, is to basically bow out of a grant opportunity or wait to fund that project next fiscal year. The second part of that is that these are largely templates. And we have an updated water master plan where we can transfer a lot of that data. John, let me know if you disagree with this, because it is current data. And because it's in the last 5 years and that we're not growing at more than 2%, we can extrapolate the data from the existing water master plan into the water conservation planning effort. And I think that by doing that, we'd actually have an opportunity to do some of that work on our own and then hopefully have a lower potential cost for that, since they are, like I said, largely template documents with local data.
Question, do we have the staffing to do that?
Well, I would need some help migrating over into an existing template. I think I sent you guys the DEQ template that they ask communities to use. And like I said, whomever did our water master plan, I don't know if it was it AKS or was it
HBH.
HBH, is to, get those spreadsheets and be able to transfer that data over. So in short, partially, I just think we can probably take on a portion of that internally since we already have the information. And then see if the state agency is willing to wrap things up for us from a policy perspective.
Petra, that quote was for both the water management conservation plan and a leak study?
It was.
Okay. I think that's probably...
Is that true? I don't know.
I believe that's what they were going to present.
Okay.
I haven't seen the quote.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't either. I had asked Jason, and the leak prevention study, I didn't know that was a part of that estimate.
I thought it was, because that was kind of their key thing, to do the leak detection first, if I remember right.
Yeah, so that would be an element of the project or the report that the city wouldn't be able to take on as a leak detection study, but
I agree to that
extent, Petra, you're correct that a lot of this information is already built into the master plan and can follow the OHA guidelines for the water management conservation plan.
Okay, we're waiting for council to decide on what they want to do, what I'm understanding.
I would think that getting the water leak detection thing going before summer gets here would be pretty important.
I think that was our key that we put towards council.
That's why we're meeting here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I did present your recommendation to council, and I believe that to the mayor, and I think that Jason also spoke with the mayor. I just haven't heard back from her yet on how she'd like me to present it to council, but I'm happy to do whatever she directs me to do. My next meeting with her is on Thursday morning.
Okay. Any other questions there?
So I see we got the letter from the City of Hillsborough response to our inquiry.
So I would guess I would ask again, is that something the city wants to work? I think council approved to move forward with the...
They approved us to start the ball rolling. They really haven't bought off on the beyond us starting the inquiry.
I can't remember, Sharon, didn't the council accept the recommendation and to look at the letter of interest to Hillsborough?
I don't believe so.
Is that something we need to?
I'll go back and look and see if it was January, is that correct? Or
that would have been our last meeting.
February? Okay.
I can't. I have to look back and see.
I have to look at my notes. But we don't have the board meeting minutes yet.
I think you spoke on that, Brian, at the last council meeting.
I thought we had. I'd have to go back and look at my notes.
Yeah, council did not take any action on the item, but I did forward the mayor the response from Hillsborough this morning. She said that she's read it and she'd like to talk about it on Thursday.
Okay. All right. So we did meet with Hillsborough, just for those who weren't here. They did get back to us today, the other day. One good thing is we do not have to apply to the Joint Water Commission. If you go that way with Hillsborough, we only have to deal with the city of Hillsborough.
Really?
So that will
make
it a little easier, less hoops we have to jump through.
So under which condition? The emergency or not?
They've got a whole list of things that the city needs to put together in a letter to them requesting. And they spelled it out. They kind of gave us a template of what needs to be in the letter. And so I think they'll address that. Hopefully council will look at that at their next meeting and direct this
March 9th
and direct the staff to move forward in drafting that letter brief of interest. As Hillsborough told us, it's better to get that letter of interest in now, so we kind of locked ourselves in than to wait 10 years down the road, it might change.
And it would be a 3 to 5 year process to get water to Yam Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. $10,000.
And then you got to figure out how you're going to fund it.
Yeah.
And that's.
Sometime they're going to have to make a decision if it's going to be an emergency water supply or if it's going to be a consistent water supply.
Yeah. I think. My thought is it'd be better to be a consistent and just you can keep our plant running, but just meter it, blend it. And that's a little work, right, John, to blend it, but not too much.
There's a blending study talking.
Yeah, well, that's a better question for Kyle, but I do want to mention one thing that I encountered in the last month here. I had a meeting with the city of Banks, and they explored a connection to city of Hillsborough for their water need, and they ultimately went away from it, and it was for a primary source of water versus emergency use. One of the major items there was that they had to retroactively pay SDC charges for every customer in the city, and so there were 1,800 customers at roughly $5,000 per SDC. So there was a big check they had to write just for a system development charge to become a Hillsborough customer. So this is going to take a lot to kind of unwind and evaluate really what the cost of buying water from Hillsborough might be. So just want to make sure we're all prepared for what we're getting into here and not.
Yeah.
Hey, John, do you know what Banks is using for a primary water source now?
So they have a spring outside of town, and they have a couple wells within city limits, and they're exploring opportunities for additional wells as well as potentially a new surface water applications.
So their situation is a little more stable than ours.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty similar.
I don't know. It's pretty hard to replicate that seasonal creek we got going.
Yeah, but they're in a situation where they have a pretty well defined maximum allowable, the max allowable that they can generate right now, based off their springs and their wells, and they're actively looking at other options.
Interesting that Hillsborough didn't mention that in any of their conversations.
Yeah, and I think we, yeah. And maybe it was part of the uncertainty as to whether we were requesting a full connection or emergency connection. But
I think we still need to move forward the letter to at least get our foot in the door at a secure spot.
And if you're radioactive, you figure that into the funding program, not necessarily go back knocking on the door, asking everybody for a check.
And you're going to probably look at the same thing if you try to go to Bendel. You got 11 miles of pipeline, and then you're going to have to put in another reservoir somewhere, and their cost is going to be more because they need help to build their new treatment plant out by the airport.
It would be more complicated for that line to come from that direction.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll wait for the cities, for council's update on that. We're still waiting for the leak detection. I think we've covered that. We're waiting for the ordinance.
Yeah, covered all that.
Hurry up and wait.
Yeah. Sounds like we're waiting on council.
Yep.
Anything else the committee has? Any other public comment before we close? Robert.
So I don't know if this commission is aware of thinking out of the box with our water situation, but one item I wanted to make the commission aware of is basalt aquifer. A basalt aquifer is basically magma underground that created voids. And recently, Cornelius drilled a well. And let me just read this to you, what the story said. It was printed the 17th of this month in the Pampa Media Group. Cornelius stores 80 million gallons of water underground. Cornelius has successfully injected some 80 million gallons of water into the ground below, capping a decade-long effort to build an aquifer storage and recovery system that drastically increases the city's water reserves. This new infrastructure is more cost effective than above ground tanks, the officials say. Cornelius, which buys its water from the city of Hillsborough, stores surface water in the winter months when precipitation is highest and the demand for water is lowest. The pipe goes down 1,600 feet. The submersible pump at 350 feet.
That would be great, but I don't think we got involved
in that
here.
John?
And the cost of the total project for the drilling and the pumps and everything was $800,000.
John, any thoughts? I don't know if we have anything around here.
Yeah, this is not a new technology by any means. There's water providers across the state have been doing this for a long time. Salem is probably the most prominent one. They've got an ASR system that's like 250 million gallons. TVWD has a big one up on Cooper Mountain. I work with another water company in St. Helens area that has a smaller one. It's about 8 million gallons. It is a good opportunity, but it's really reliant upon the geology. And I don't know that we've really evaluated if those kind of geological formations exist within Yamhill in a place where this would be usable. But I'm not dismissing it. It's certainly something that could be considered. It's a lot. It's a significant financial endeavor to evaluate if it's viable, meaning you have to pay a geologist to look at records and then likely go out and drill some test wells to see what opportunities you have, but it is a potential solution.
It'd have to be somewhere where somebody else wasn't punching a well, sucking your water out.
Yeah, I'll tell you that the one I work with outside of Scappoose, St. Helens, McNulty Water, they stumbled upon it by mistake. They bought a well from a private property owner thinking they had a 250 gallon a minute well. They found that it had very little natural recovery. It was basically a big hole in the ground, as was described. And so they decided, well, let's pump water into it rather than pump water out of it all year. And it has been very successful for them. They use it strictly in the summertime as their other wells kind of decline seasonally. And it's a great system for them.
So just a lot of work on getting base information to do something. Any idea what something might
be? Yeah, all things to consider. I mean, if we find the Hillsborough connection is a viable one, great. If we find it's too expensive, we can start looking at other solutions.
Thanks, Ben.
See you next time. Thanks, John. Anything else?
Yeah. Hi, Pat Fitzgerald with Downhill Water Company. And I just have a couple of questions trying to get myself caught up to speed. And this might have already been known by the rest of the group here, but how many different outside water districts are buying water from Yandex right now?
10.
10 and 169 users on those 10 districts.
So 10 and 10. And I heard a lot of solutions talked about today and a number of steps, and it sounds like there's some level of frustration with the progress made by the county council and going forward. So I'm wondering what kind of input or support you all need to help bring that some of these infrastructure topics further to the surface of priorities.
I don't know. I guess.
Quite frankly, Pat, today I was thinking that we just need to stop our water advisory board meetings because we're not getting anywhere with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We've spent a lot of hours in here hashing things over, taking some abuse, and we're not getting anything back from the council that we're doing to move forward with anything. And I'm not a government person. I find that to be pretty frustrating. For me, because what I'm used to.
I thought all this was taken care of at the last meeting.
I did too.
Presented all this stuff, and I thought the mayors and they all went, that we are
going forward.
To hear this, I'm like, going, well, what meeting did I listen to?
All right. Well, anyway, so we're just, I'm sorry to say, butting in like this, that it's par for the course. I mean, that's what, because I go to council meetings all the time. And that's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
They pass an ordinance or whatever, and then it sits.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just you know, it's
not just Yandell City Council. It's everywhere. It's the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
I called the state to try to get an answer on domestic water use today. They might call me back in a few days.
Yeah.
They refer you to go look at this website.
And I tried calling yesterday. Of course, it was a holiday, and I don't have President's Day off. I'm working, so I have a hard time dealing with the public entity on some stuff. So it's a different call.
Motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn. I'll second it.
What do you got, Paul?
I was at home. Oh, geez. I was laid down on the couch this morning.
I saw that pretty carved part.
I don't know. Like, no parking.
And then I noticed it was you. So.